All right, thank you very much. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. Shabbat shalom again to all of you. Shabbat shalom to the people in the little black box that are sitting there that Kyla's holding their hands right now, which is so sweet. So we're going to get into Deuteronomy chapter 26. So I want you guys to go ahead. We're going to be reading a decent portion of that. So if you could open up your reading devices to Deuteronomy 26. I would also like to take just a minute or two to brag on four little people in my home. And there's a point of why I'm saying this. Many people in my family, not me thankfully, have been starting to do a bit of running in our home. And like I said, fortunately, not me. So this morning, four of the little people in my home, they ran in a race, a three-mile race in downtown, which was very cool. And as I was sitting there watching them and thinking about them and praying for them, God just kind of gave me some little lessons, some little things that just encouraged me. And we're going to be talking about offerings today. We're going to be talking about what we are able to bring before God and our commitment to Him and the process of knowing Him. Want to start off with Elijah. And the other little person is my lovely wife, Andrea. And she's little in comparison to me. So they decided at the last second, really, that they wanted to run this race. They wanted to just go for it, run the 3.1 miles, and they went for it, and they just did such a great job. They hadn't really been preparing for it. It was Elijah's first three-mile race ever. It was Andrea's first three-mile race maybe ever, but in the last, you know, however many years. So, but they went for it. They were committed to it, and it was just incredible. I was just so encouraged that they got a goal in mind, they got a task in mind, and they said, it's going to be very hard, but I'm going to do it. And they committed to it. And I think there's just a lot there for me to learn, hopefully for those of you. When the Lord gives you an idea, a goal, a task in mind, there is a blessing in just going for it. And it wasn't necessarily the fastest times for them. They didn't, you know, necessarily run the entire way, but they persevered, which I thought was really cool. Samara also ran the race. It was her second 5K race that she'd ever done. And my daughter is so sweet. She has a little bit of an ornery competitive side to her, but she is incredibly sweet. And she has a friend that is on the track team on this little club. And Samara and this friend insisted on staying with one another. No matter if one was going slower than the other, they just decided we will be together. And I just absolutely love that in the midst of hardship, my daughter was sticking with her friend. And they were encouraging each other on this race. Other people are going faster and slower, but the two of them stayed true to one another, which I thought was cool. And then also my son Isaac. This was his first official or second official 5K race that he had done. He did one last weekend. And it was just really touching because he's doing this with a high school. He's been a homeschooler his entire life, but he decided he wanted to run with the Fruita team. And so he's getting ready for his first, you know, real race. It was only a two-miler, and they take off. And right before he gets to the start line, he gets tripped up from behind, which I thought was just very, very crazy. But I'm incredibly proud of him because he jumped right back up, and he's got blood all over his leg. And he went for it, and he had one of his best times ever for the two-mile. And so then he set a couple goals. I want to, you know, beat this particular time, and I want to kind of place, you know, in this particular thing. And Yahweh was faithful, and he worked hard, and he was able to do that, which I thought was so cool, just seeing him. And Samara, she, you know, broke her goals that she wanted to as well. So, all of them did. So, yeah, give them a hand. Andrea finished. She completed the race run out for her. So, but yeah, I'm just proud of them, just seeing as a father, just those lessons that I got from them. So we're going to read in Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 11. And Maddie, if I can get you to come up and read those for me. Do you have it there on your phone? Okay. So 26, verses 1 through 11.
When you have come to the land Adonai your God is giving you as your inheritance, take possession of it and settle there. You are to take the first fruits of all the crops the ground yields, which you will harvest from your land that Adonai your God is giving you. Put them in a basket and go to the place where Adonai your God will choose to have his name live. You will approach the Kohen holding office at the time and say to him, "Today I declare to Adonai your God that I have come to the land Adonai swore to our ancestors that he would give us. The Kohen will take the basket from your hand and put it down in front of the altar of Adonai your God. Then, in the presence of Adonai your God, you are to say, my ancestor was a nomad from Aram. He went down into Egypt, few in number, and stayed. There he became a great, strong, populous nation. But the Egyptians treated us badly. They oppressed us and imposed harsh slavery on us. So we cried out to Adonai, the God of our ancestors. Adonai heard us and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. And Adonai brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and a stretched out arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. Now he has brought us to this place and given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Therefore, as you see, I have now brought the first fruits of the land which you, Adonai, have given me. You are then to put the basket down before Adonai your God, prostrate yourself before Adonai your God, and take joy in all the good that Adonai your God has given you, your household, and the Levi, and the foreigner living with you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I figured I would get someone else up here reading so you don't have to listen to my voice droning on and on for a while. You're going to get 40 minutes of me, and that's about all you can take for the week. So, just a really neat passage here. Just the idea of talking about offerings, talking about just bringing a tithe before God. We were talking about this at our small group on Thursday and just kind of going into the different ideas of tithes and offerings. And I know Yahweh really started teaching me some things that he'd never taught me before. Because if someone says to you, you know, how many, you know, what is a tithe or offering? You think, okay, there's a tithe and an offering, and it's 10% off of the gross of your income. It can't be off of the net. That's not allowed, right? People are really particular about whether you should tithe or not. They also have the particulars of has to be off the gross, not the net and all this other stuff. But as I was reading through it, it just made me realize that there are actually three tithes that you are supposed to give. In Scripture, there are three tithes. And Yahweh was just kind of teaching me, like, okay, you know, Matt, you got the idea of a tithe and offering, but are you doing all three? And I was like, well, Yahweh, what are all three? And the first one is the one that we traditionally give for the service of the temple, which is, you know, the 10%. And again, I don't want to be legalistic. I don't want to say you have to give the 10. It's what Yahweh lays on your heart. But we all know that there is blessing and obedience. Whatever it is that the Lord has laid on your heart, that's what you should be obedient to. So 10%, we can kind of understand that one. Then there's a second one, which is kind of cool because it's really for us. It's basically traveling expenses. It's basically vacation expenses. You're supposed to set money aside so that when you go up to the place where the Lord has chosen you to go, a lot of times during the feast days, that you have money to spend on getting there, of enjoying the time, of, you know, the travel, the food, the drink, all these other things. Yahweh is saying this is how important his feast days are to him. Amen. Is he wants us to go so bad and to be a part of it. He's saying, start setting aside money now so that you can go and enjoy that, which is kind of cool. And then there's a third tithe, which takes place every 3 years. And that's meant to go to the Levite, the orphan, the widow. And so you set money aside that at the end of every 3 years, you go and you contribute this. All of Israel comes and they take care of the orphan, the widow, the Levite. And so Yahweh just kind of really starting to change my heart and get me thinking about how does that affect my life? How does that affect my giving? How does that affect my relationship with God? And I don't know entirely yet, but I know he's trying to shake me up on some things. And maybe, you know, he will do the same thing for you. Maybe he'll do the same thing for this Kohol. I'm starting to get little bitty glimpses of what that could look like. We'll see if it ever comes to fruition. But just reading through this time of offerings, this passage on offerings, I thought was really neat. So what I want to do is I want to work through Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 11, and I want to kind of go through it verse by verse because I believe that there is something very important in the instructions that are given here. Because when you guys, for those who were able to, when you went up and you gave your offering, there was probably a quick prayer. There was a putting of a check or some money or in the, you know, in my kids' world, some dimes and quarters maybe, or a little envelope that you put your credit card information on there. And you go, you do that quick prayer, and then you say it, and you put it in there, and that's great. It's totally fine. But when you see what Yahweh instructs Israel to do when they bring in this offering, it's pretty powerful. And I think the more that we can kind of connect with the practical applications, the practical instructions here, the more I think it can really change our individual lives and ultimately, and we'll see this in verse 10 and 11, our relationship with other people. And so what is happening at this point, starting in verse 1, Israel has gone into the land that he has set, he has given them, and they are starting to bear fruit from it. It says, then it shall be when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, and you possess it and live in it, pay attention to that, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the grounds which you bring in from your land that the Lord your God gives you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. So they enter in, they're living in it, they're possessing it. It's their inheritance. Now, a lot of us think, okay, you know, God has given us this inheritance and I'm a child of God and that's great. Very true. But when you look at it, you live in it and you possess it. Are you living within the knowledge that God is your Savior, that he has identified who you are and that he wants you to live for him? Have you identified that? Are you living in that truth? And not only are you living in it, are you possessing it and saying, it's mine. This is what I'm guarding. This is my inheritance. I'm going to hold on to this. So Israel has gone into the land and they have recognized this. This doesn't have to be a one-time thing. It was a one-time thing for Israel, as far as we know here, but as you start getting into all the offerings, Leviticus 1 through 6, and all throughout Scripture, you start seeing all the offerings that are to be given. But I truly believe, and this is not necessarily within the nuts and bolts of this passage, for each and every one of us, I think we can grasp the idea of giving an offering to God of the first fruits that he gives us. But I truly believe it doesn't have to be a one-time thing, that this can happen over and over and over. Because I truly believe God gives us fruit and produce all throughout our lives in different areas. It's not just, oh, I'm saved, praise God, I will give my life over to him. True. But a lot of times that, you know, I will live for Jesus thing is a cliche. It's a spiritual cop-out, as I like to say, in a lot of ways, because it says I'm going to live for Jesus, and that could just be whatever I want it to be at whatever time. It's true, but it can be a cop-out. But when you start looking at your life and all the individual things that come with it, all the individual struggles, all the individual faults, all the individual victories, you start realizing that, yeah, you are living within God's kingdom, you are possessing it, and he is giving you fruit all the time. And it's not that you compare yourself to other people, because that's one of the traps of our heart and our mind, is we think, well, these people have a whole lot more produce, if you will, spiritual produce in their life than me. And you start to judge yourself saying, I wish I had all that. We need to get out of the realm of comparing ourselves to other people and be thankful for the produce that God gives us, however big, however small it should be. So then I would say this process that we see here in chapter 26, it's something that can happen over and over and over, and that it should happen over and over, because anytime you feel like God has given you something, that is an opportunity to give that back as an offering to him. And so Israel, as far as we know, they're doing this one time, but it doesn't have to be for us. When you enter into God's kingdom and possess it and live in it, there is always some produce in your life. Some. Even if there's only one thing, there is some produce in your life. I'm going to ask you real quick, can you think of at least one thing God has given you in your life since you walked into a real relationship with him? At least one thing. Can everyone think of one thing? There you go. That's produce. That is something that can be given as an offering. Now, can you think of a second one? Yeah. You probably can keep going and going, and if you're honest with yourself, And this is a good exercise to do when you feel like you're struggling and you're down and you're just apathetic and just sorrowful, whatever it might be. It's a good exercise to think of, okay, God delivered me from this. He gave me this. He gave me this. And all of a sudden you start focusing on the good things, the blessings, the victories God has given you, and not so much on the struggles. There is always some produce in your life. And as someone who has been in some form of leadership pastoring here for 15 some odd years, for knowing most of you, I've seen that produce. I've seen it. When you get involved in people's lives, you see it. And it's encouraging, and we're going to get into in a little bit why that is so encouraging. So never forget, there is always some produce in your life. So what we are doing is just as Israel is getting this offering, they start doing something with it, and they have a proclamation. It says, when you enter the land which the Lord your... The last thing is you bring an offering of that produce to God's dwelling place. God's dwelling place is Jerusalem, right? No, it's not. Does God dwell there? Yeah. But how many of you guys are planning on going to Israel in the next couple weeks and giving over an offering? No. Fortunately, God has chosen to place his name here. Not this building, but in one another. So you have an offering. You're not just taking it to Jerusalem. You're not just taking it to a box or a basket. You're bringing it to one another. That is where God's dwelling place is. Verse 3, you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time. Who is the priest in office at this time?
Yeshua.
And is he there with you right now?
Amen.
Yes. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare this is the key. This begins the process that I want you all to pay attention to. You shall say, I declare this day to the Lord my God that I have entered the land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. So imagine that you are coming and you're bringing this offering to the Lord at the tabernacle, because remember, Jerusalem was not even in the picture at the time this instruction was given. It was not even a thing at that point. So you're coming before Yahweh and you're saying, I'm bringing this. You're coming to one another. You're coming in fellowship. You are choosing to gather around your brothers and sisters. You are choosing to do this, and you are declaring before the Lord all of these things. You are saying that I have entered the land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Well, what on earth does that mean? We need to recognize and declare that we are part of God's kingdom. This is what Yahweh has laid on my heart, that this is not just some sort of mental thing. I want you to connect with each of these points because I feel like there's something there. So you go and you're giving an offering. You've come together and you declare that I am part of God's kingdom.
Amen.
When you have an offering, you say, I am part of God's kingdom. Because this starts to set the process in motion. This is the foundation. If nothing else, you recognize that you are part of God's kingdom and that he had promises for you. You are entering into that land that he swore to give our forefathers. We need to make that declaration. Verses 4 through 5. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down to Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, but there he became a great, mighty, and populous nation. Now, we're only five verses into this, and I will say that any time you come to the basket or the box or one another, you don't necessarily have to say all of this at every time, because then our prayer and offering time might get a little bit long when everyone else has to go and basically say 11 verses before they can put their offering in there. But we can connect with this. You can connect even before you go up there. You can connect with it throughout the entire week. And you're basically recognizing where you came from. You're recognizing not only where we have come from as a people, because we have been grafted in. If you have entered into this right relationship with God, if you have entered into his kingdom and you're living in it and you're possessing it, you're recognizing that you are part of Israel.
Amen.
Not physical Israel, but spiritual Israel, but also as individuals. Because a lot of times we forget that we are, there's a balance that goes on in my life, and I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, because so much of the time, especially when you become a new believer, you start thinking about, God loves me. God loves me. He takes care of me. I love him. I need to focus on him. But sometimes our relationship with him can become a little self-centered. We can get a little bit selfish in our relationship with God. And we can forget that our relationship with him is but a very small part of what I call his redemptive history. That as much as he cares about us as individuals, he cares about his glory and his people more than that. That he wants his name to be known all throughout eternity, throughout everything that he ever created. And so we need to be aware of that, that life is not just about me. It's about everything that's going on around me and everything that's gone on in my past, everything that's gone on since the creation of the universe. We need to recognize that we are about something so much bigger. But then we can sometimes get into the, well, God doesn't really care about me. He cares more about this abstract concept of redemptive history in the whole world. He doesn't care about me. No, it's a balance. Sometimes it's a hard balance to try and filter through in our life, but it's true nonetheless. So when we have an offering, whatever it might be, we need to recognize where we have come from as a people, but also as individuals. We need to recognize that we have experienced wandering in our lives, and we may have viewed ourselves as small and weak at times, but there have also been times when God has made us strong. So when you have this offering, you recognize that God has given you produce in your life. You've been productive. There's just been blessing there. And you're going and you're giving that offering. You're recognizing that there was a time before that when it was like you were wandering around, when you just had no real idea of what was going on. You were struggling. Things were just kind of in your life. And there was a time where you might have seen yourself as small and weak because you were this wandering Aramean. But then just like he did there, it says, but there he became a great, mighty, and populous nation. You can start to recognize that he is changing you and causing you to prosper and making you, not just as a person, but that spirit within you, great and mighty. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is and what he has done. This is an important part of the declaration that we need to make before Yahweh when we offer something. Verse 6, and the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us and imposed hard labor on us. Life just gets hard sometimes, right? Is life hard for anyone right now? Probably some of us it is. Some of you might just be like happy and just going for it, and God is just blessing everywhere, and you don't got a care in the world. Praise God, we're jealous of you. Don't tell us about it because we're going through our own struggles. I'm kidding. I'm absolutely kidding, and we'll see here in a second why. We recognize that we have gone through hardships, that we have gone through these times where we feel like we are wandering around and we don't know what God is doing in our life. We need to recognize that we have been afflicted by the sin in ourselves, because how many of you have committed some sort of sin at some point in your life? Yep, you don't have to raise your hand. Although those of you who did, I saw who it was, and I will talk to you later. And I always like to joke and say, so far on Sabbath morning, no one here has committed any sin because it's a good day. We're at Shabbat. We haven't messed up nothing. We've got like a blank slate. We're doing good. No, that's a lie. Don't say that, because that in itself is a sin, and you're in church on the Sabbath, and that's like the triple whammy right there. We need to recognize that we have been afflicted by the sin in ourselves and even afflicted by others. Because if you have any sort of relationship or interaction with other people in your life at any point in time, they have probably said something, done something, not said something, not done something that causes just this angst in you, which can eventually lead to this kind of affliction. Amen? Also humbling to recognize that you are the ones that sometimes have done that to others, which is another hard pill to swallow. It's one thing to come to grips with the idea that someone else has caused us sin and affliction. It's a whole different kind of humbling to recognize that sometimes we are the ones that cause that pain and affliction in other people's lives. It really makes you think about how you relate to one another, doesn't it? Verse 7, then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction and our toil and our oppression. So you've recognized, and I'm just recapping here so you guys can see the process. You're recognizing that God has given you fruit in your life. He's given you victory. He's given you produce. He's given you something, and you want to give that back to Yahweh. And you go before his people. You go before wherever it is that he has chosen to place his name, whether it's here, another church, another ministry, maybe it actually is in Israel, whatever it is. And you've decided, I want to go and I want to give this offering over to him. And you go before whoever this is, and then you start basically going through this confession. You're recognizing that I used to not know who God is, but now I'm entering into this right relationship with him. I'm living in his kingdom. I'm possessing his kingdom. He's giving me fruit. And then you start recognizing, but I also want to connect with who I was, that at one point I didn't know God, and I was wandering around, but then he saved me. I'm in that right relationship, and now I'm moving forward. And then you get to the part where you recognize, yeah, my life was hard. My life was hard. I was struggling with this particular area of sin. Take a moment, and don't raise your hand for those of you who are just really happy to raise your hand. Think about something in your life that God has given you victory over in the last week or month. Some area of sin, some area of struggle that he has given you victory over. I will actually ask you to raise your hand. When you have come up with one, please raise your hand. Something that he has given you victory over in your life. Doesn't matter if it was today or 20 years from now, 20 years ago. I want to see the hands up when you come up with them because I think this is important. This is part of bringing the offering, I think. Amen. And take a quick look around because now you are surrounded by people who have experienced that same victory in their life at one point in time. So you recognize that you struggled with some sort of particular sin. And this is what God is giving you victory over. And this is what he is putting fruit in your life. You recognize that you've been afflicted, but then you go in here and you cry out to God. You cry out saying, I am struggling with this. I've been struggling with this for years and years and years. My entire life. My entire relationship with this person, I've been struggling with it. I'm crying out to you, God. I've been crying out to you to give me deliverance from this, to give me hope, to give me encouragement. I'm crying out to you, God, over and over and over. And you plead, and sometimes we all have the areas where God just delivers us from something right away. We're driving someone. I saw a shirt today that said, I won't quit, but I will cuss the entire time. Which I thought was just, part of me is like, oh, and I thought, oh, that's good, because that's how I feel sometimes. Sometimes that victory just happens really quick, but other times it's just an ongoing process and you're not happy about it, but you know you're not going to quit, but you know it might not be a pretty picture until you get there. But you recognize that you're just crying out to God. And when you're bringing this particular bit of produce, this victory, this offering, you're saying, I cried out to God. And then he eventually heard me. We need to recognize that there was a moment when we cried out to God because of our affliction. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with great terror and with signs and wonders. This is verse 8. You cry out to God and then he delivers you. He brought us out of Egypt, which is just a picture of our, you know, separation from God. Our being in the world, being held hostage and in bondage to the world. And he redeemed us with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with great terror and with signs and wonders. Have you ever had those moments, those interactions with God, those deliverances that once you see it, it's just like, oh, that was incredible what just happened. I heard a speaker this week, he said, someone was asking him, if he was a Christian or if he believes in God, and he didn't want to like answer the question because it was very complicated to him. And he said, I act as if there is, and I'm afraid that there is. And I feel like that is a humbling, that you recognize who God is in your life and you want to act as if there is a God, but you also have this almost a fear, a holy fear, a loving fear that, oh gosh, I'm dealing with a God who just delivered me in this amazing way. If he can deliver me in this amazing way, what is he not capable of? What can he not do? And there is a humbling in that. With great terror and with signs and wonders, we need to recognize that it was God who delivered us, not us. Now, this is kind of hard sometimes because a lot of times our struggle with a sin and our victory over a sin comes by us making some sort of physical or mental or emotional effort of saying, I'm going to commit to doing this. I'm going to commit to not overeating. I'm going to commit to praying every day. I'm going to commit to giving money in this thing. I'm going to do such and such. And so something in our mind might be able to say, well, yeah, I'm doing that. But ultimately, any step that you take to see some bit of salvation or redemption in your life is ultimately caused by God's Spirit moving in you. And so when you go through, you know, the four steps or the eight steps or this year-long commitment, whatever it might be, you recognize that it is God who is causing you to do that. And if it's victory that comes from that, it's ultimately from him and his leading. It's not from your efforts. It's by your trusting in him and him working through you. And so you recognize you're bringing this offering, that you were afflicted with things. You cried out to God, and then he delivered you. Verse 9, and he has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Praise God, you have gotten deliverance over whatever it is in your life, whatever thing that you raised your hand in earlier on. He has given you victory. Wouldn't that be enough if he saved you from that one particular sin, gave you deliverance over one particular area? Wouldn't that be enough? I mean, that's really all we want from God, is that kind of deliverance. Thank you, God, for doing this. Thank you for redeeming me from that. But our God is such a good and loving and just awesome God that he doesn't stop there. He brings us into the land flowing with milk and honey. He gives us far more than we ever asked for. He gives us that real relationship with him. He's not just someone who says, okay, yeah, I took care of that for you. I'm the fix-it guy. Okay, go on. He is someone who is now entering into this relationship with us and blessing us. We need to recognize that not only has he delivered us, he has prospered us. When he gave you deliverance over whatever thing that was, did you feel prosperous after that? Kind of get all excited, kind of happy, kind of feeling invigorated, feeling the Holy Spirit kind of moving through you a little bit more, like, hey, this is kind of nice. I'm kind of doing good. And hey, I'm going to take care of that because I can. More importantly, God can. So yeah, I'm doing pretty good. We dealt with that thing. What's next, God? What's next? When else do I have victory over? Oh, that? Cool. And you just start, it's like the self-perpetuating, like, neat, look what's going on. This is awesome. And then inevitably, you know, we mess up. We do something. Someone, you know, cuts us off on the road, says that we look ugly, whatever it is. And we go through the whole process again. But we prosper. God doesn't just give us deliverance, we prosper. Verse 10. Now behold, I have brought the first of the produce of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me, and you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. Okay. Backtrack a little bit because I want us all to be a part of this process. You recognize that you are a part of God's kingdom. You recognize that he has given you fruit in your life. He's been giving you victory, some sort of blessing. And so you want to go and you want to give that back to him. So you're going to where he's placed his name. And again, we would say that it's one another. And you go there and you basically say, okay, God, in the past, this is who I was. I was wandering around, didn't know who you were. Didn't even know that you cared about me, but then you gave me a place to live. You identified who I should be with, and I thank you for that. Then you say, you know, but life was hard, God. This particular area was hard. And I cried out to you because it was just really causing me to suffer. It was really causing hurt. So God, I cried out to you. I cried out to you over and over. But then God, you heard me. You heard me cry out about this struggle. And then you delivered me, God. You gave me victory over this thing that I want to give as an offering. And God, not only did you redeem me from that, you gave me all this blessing that I can't even just contain. I'm prosperous now. I feel great. I feel mighty. I feel prosperous. And so God, I'm coming before you. I'm bringing the first of the produce of the ground which you have given me, and you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. This is when you come into the presence of other people, into the presence of God, and you are able to worship him and thank him for what he has done. Now keep in mind, this is not something that is just being done outside, inside their homes, wherever it is. They sent in the check at www.bet-leckum.com, and that was it. There is a coming together, and that you worship in the midst of everyone else. Whatever that might look like, whether it's waving the flags, whether it's the dancing, whether it's the laying the down, my goodness. Laying there, sitting there, whatever it might be, you are worshiping God for what he has done. And then all the other people around you might say that you look a little bit weird for doing the thing that you're doing, but they recognize, because they know who you are and the kind of person that you're becoming, oh, that person is worshiping the Lord because the Lord has done an amazing thing in their life. They're doing this in front of the tabernacle. They're doing this in front of the priests. I mean, the priest is probably just sitting there like, go ahead. Still going? Okay, God's blessed you then. There you go. But they're doing it in the Lord's presence. They're worshiping in the Lord's presence. We're bringing this entire process and the fruit from it back to God in thanks for what he has done. It's not enough that you just hold on to this, but that you are bringing it to other people. You're bringing it before other people so they can join in this process with you. And if that's not enough, this is the cool part. This is so cool. This is what I really hope you guys get. And this is why you should be in fellowship in some way, somehow, all the time, as much as you can. I've been around long enough in just regular Christian churches. I've been around in the whole Messianic Hebrew roots, whatever it is that we are, for long enough, is that if you stay by yourself, you will fail. At some point in time, you will fail. You might be strong enough and with it enough that you can last months, years of doing the whole lone, solitary, you know, follower of God thing. But you miss out on having people in your life to support you and that you can support them. Because then your relationship with God is this completely selfish thing just going on. I can tell you, I have, and maybe you guys know more people than I do, but can you think of anyone who has gone at their relationship with God completely alone and has not fallen? I can't think of anyone. Can't think of anyone. Is there anyone in Scripture who did that? No. Even Yeshua had the disciples there to encourage him. That's why it's so important to come into fellowship in some way. And come into fellowship in a real way, in a regular way. Not just like, oh, you know, I did this or I did that. It's, you know, be involved, be surrounded by people who know you, who know your struggles, who know your victories, who can say, yeah, I remember way back when you were doing this, and it has been a testimony of encouragement to me for years and years and years. And that people could say the same thing about you. So verse 11, and you and the Levite and the alien who is among you shall rejoice. Everyone else rejoices with you in all the good which the Lord your God has given you and your household. So when I have a blessing in my life, I want to share it with you guys. I have felt that way with all six of my kids. Because it took us a while to end up getting that first one. And as we found out, once we got the first one out of the way, God just kept on giving. But I have, you know, we have joked that we have wanted our kids to be community kids. We want our kids to be a part of this family. We want you to see them as your family, to see you as their family. That has been our offering. And so we are, in a sense, sharing with the Levite, with the alien, everyone around us. We are sharing this produce, this blessing that God has given us, so that everyone else can rejoice in it. When God has given you victory, don't keep it to yourself, because there are other people here who need it. There are other people who are coming here that have had a hard day, a hard week. They don't know what's going on in their life. They may not even know that God is real anymore. But then they come here and they see a bunch of people who have been given just this produce in their life, and they're giving it as an offering. And how many times have you felt like, okay, my God is living and active, and he is blessing other people, and that is just the encouragement that I need, and now I can feed off of that offering that this person gave me. That happens all the time. That is why God calls us to be a part of the body, because he knows we can't just do it on our own, that at some point we need someone else to remind us of how good God is, and that we need to be fed by those people. I've said in years past, and I think this is true, and I mentioned it on Thursday night, is that the Levites, the priests, a lot of times they did not get to eat unless Israel brought their sin offerings, which is kind of a humbling thing to think about, is that if the people of Israel figured they had everything going right, that they didn't need to bring the offerings, the rest of the Levites did not get to eat. So if you are not coming here because you are struggling with something, that you are, you know, just falling flat on your face with something, and you're not bringing that offering, that crying out to God before us, we don't get to eat. We don't get to see the process that God is taking you through and be nourished ourselves. It is a humbling, yes, to come before people and say, this is the junk I have going on in my life. But it is that confession that allows the rest of us to say, I've been there. I understand. Let me tell you what God has done for me. Let me just support you. Let me just sit by you. Let me just pray for you. Let me just listen to you. That's what feeds us. That's what feeds everyone else. So when you're struggling, you come to the body so that other people get nourished as well. But when God has given you the victory over things, and he's given you this produce, he's given you all just this amazing amount of blessings, please bring that to the body too. Because there are people, any given Sabbath, any given, you know, Torah study, any given time you meet together, there are people who need that encouragement. They need to know this entire process. And I say it's a process, and this is what I'm going to close with. I say it's a process because if I just tell someone, I have this victory over depression. God has given me victory over depression. Praise God, but someone who is struggling with depression, they'd probably like to know how that happened. Yes. Not just say, oh, I'm struggling with depression, they're not anymore. How's that help me? Because all you're reminded of is, well, that's how I should be, I'm not, oh well. But when you can go through this whole proclamation and you sit down with someone and say, I have victory over depression because... And you go all the way back and you work through this proclamation, you work through this process, and you can say, see, this is how I got here. And the person who you're speaking to, now they have a plan. Now they have an example. Now they have a comfort that, yeah, you were struggling, you were wandering, you were crying out, but God heard you, he delivered you. He prospered you. Now you're bringing that before the rest of the body. You are worshiping before God. Now all of us are being fed. And that is so important. That is the proclamation that, again, don't go through all 11 verses every time you go up and you give an offering. That takes a while. And we do have a service to run, unfortunately. You can do that afterwards. I really believe, and God just laid this on my heart so strongly, is it's this process, it's this whole thing of proclaiming what God has done that feeds his people and causes them to rejoice, and then Israel is strengthened by that. So if you guys wouldn't mind standing, we will go ahead and close out. On a personal note, I'm just so incredibly thankful for each and every one of you who have gone through the processes of the struggles of your life over the years that I have known you, because so much of it has encouraged me and has encouraged my family. And so a lot of times we might feel like the things that we go through in our life don't mean much to anyone else. I can tell you that if I've known you for any significant amount of time, that I have seen what you guys have gone through, and I have been fed, I have been nourished, and I have ended up worshiping God a little bit more because of your offering and your vulnerability. So I thank each and every one of you for that. And I hope there are people in this body that you can say the same thing about. But I just want to just lift up this time in prayer. I want to lift up just all the struggles that we go through. I'll just go ahead. Father God, thank you so much for being a God who is living and active. Thank you so much for just recognizing that we are fleshly and carnal and faulty human beings, that we are sinful. Father, that we were made in your likeness, but we were not made like you. Father, that we struggle with so many things, and that it is our desire, hopefully it is our desire, and for those who might be struggling with the idea of giving these things over to you, Father, we recognize and we desire your intervention in our life. We desire your intervention in this whole process of recognizing how faulty we are and how much we need you and how much we want to worship you. And so I pray for each and every one of us individually, Father, and maybe even as a kahal, that you would show us how you have delivered us, that you would show us the process that we have gone through, that you would remind us of who we were, but you would remind us of who we are and who you are, God. And that when we feel like we are wandering around, when we feel like we are lost, that we have no purpose, that we have no role, we have no identity, we have nothing to offer to you or to other people, that you would give us the land that you have promised us, and that we would enter into that, and that we would have a little bit more strength because of that. And Father, when we cry out to you, and I pray that you would lay that on each and every one of our hearts when we are struggling, that we would cry out to you, I thank you that you hear us. Father, even before we've gone through the crying out, Father, you know us, you know what we're struggling with, and you hear us, and you are waiting anxiously for us to come to you so that you can give us victory, that you can strengthen us, that you can encourage us, that you can redeem us in a mighty, mighty way. And Father, we can take that offering, we can take that relationship with you, and we can bring it to you by bringing it to your people, by bringing it before the Commonwealth of Israel, Father, for this spiritual Israel. We can just bring it to one another because we don't want to just keep the blessing that you have given us to ourselves. We want to share it with other people. Because as strong as we might be at any given moment, we are stronger when those around us are stronger. And so I pray that you would just take us through the whole process as often as it needs be, Father. Whether it's one time a day, recognizing the victory you've given us once a day, once a month, over and over and over. May our minds constantly be open and aware to what you have given us victory over, and that we can just declare the goodness of God amongst everyone else. We love you, Abba. Thank you so much for your Sabbath, for graciously allowing us to be a part of it. We love you, and we pray all this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thanks for being here.